All right, Shakers, go ahead.
Wow, you said that right away.
We usually wait until like 30 seconds in the podcast. I wanted to start movie club with that.
Okay. One. Next week's movie, Serbian film.
Crime and Punishment. Hello everyone and welcome to The Abyss.
Welcome to the abyss, like the famous line in the movie.
you just entered the abyss.
Welcome to the abyss. I hope you enjoy your stay. Splash.
That's what they say. This movie, I chose this cover in particular because this is a blockbuster movie to me. Only because it started with an A. And so whenever I would try to pick out a movie, I'd always see the abyss. And this cover in particular.
Totally. The special edition. For a long time, that was the only distributed version of the movie, period.
Oh.
I'll get into that stuff later. But when I worked at Blockbuster, I made a poor attempt to watch every movie in there alphabetically. I was like, I'm going to do it. Let's go.
That's quite the undertaking because that's a lot of movies.
You know how far I made it?
12 Monkeys.
Yeah, there were so many number movies. I'm done.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I saw 12 Monkeys, like 10 Days of Summer.
10 Things I Hate About You?
Things I Hate About You, yeah.
You see that one?
I made it to 2001 A Space Odyssey, and I was and I was so hollow after it. I didn't like it the first time I saw it. I was like, what did I just sit through? And then that was the one actually, coincidentally, that stuck with me the most of all of them. I was like, holy shit, I need to watch that again. And I did.
Yeah. I just took the worst sip of water.
Oh my God.
Good start to the show.
Yeah. Good stuff. You challenge the abyss, it fights back.
Oh, I'm drowning here, much like Ed Harris.
You should fill your lungs with that. You'll breathe just fine.
Mm.
Thanks, Yoda.
That did sound good, didn't it?
Down in the abyss, you will travel.
So this movie is, it's just I knew was the cover and James Cameron, but I didn't know anything else about it. I've later heard things about it. About how like Ed Harris refuses to talk about this movie, and just but that I didn't know why, and so I just was curious what this was all about. So.
Yeah, I think it was as far as I know, maybe you know more than me on it, but it was a difficult movie to work on.
Yes,
and
terrible.
And you really have to consider the context of this release, too, is that it underwater shit like this at this level had not been attempted. The amount of action that's underwater, continuous shots underwater, just working with water. Now, there are a lot of productions. I mean, a lot of them are by James Cameron since this, but this kind of changed the game a little bit, and I think it was very hard on its actors.
Crew, but also I kind of feel like, and I've said this before many times, James Cameron, to me, seems like pretty much like a huge fucking asshole. Like, he just seems like he will do anything to get the shot he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, you know, it's been noted that James Cameron a lot of times works with actors a lot in different movies.
Yeah.
Every actor on this has never worked with him again.
Wow.
And so they...
Wait. Did Michael Biehn come back? No, he probably didn't. Huh?
I don't know.
Because he obviously was in Alien too. But after this, I don't know if he ever came back to a James Cameron movie.
I mean, there are some actors, I will say, on like The Ship Above.
Yeah.
That didn't have to do this stuff, so maybe they came back.
Yeah, now that's why Chris Elliott is kicking ass in every Avatar movie.
Chris Elliott is in all the Avatars.
No, that's a really good point, though.
So he put the crew and the actors into like unbearably terrible and dangerous situations where Ed Harris has, the only thing he's ever said about it is like he would go and like shoot some stuff and like he almost drowned legitimately twice.
Yeah.
And James Cameron didn't cut the cameras because they were getting the shot. And so like, well, we'll take care of him later, but like this looks good. Keep rolling. Don't help him yet.
Yeah.
And so apparently Ed Harris, when he came to, punched James Cameron in the face, but that's a rumor. I don't know if that's true or not. because he almost died. But I guess that day he was driving home and had to pull over because he was sobbing so hard because, like, all the shit he had to go through filming this movie. So it, to me, seems like, you know, I've heard stories of this movie was hell to film. Yeah, you know, I don't know how you feel about that. If you knew this already or, you know, whatever they called The Abyss.
No, I mean, I had heard just that. It was just, yeah, I'd heard the Ed Harris thing. I love Ed Harris.
Me too.
To me, he's like an upgrade to any movie that he shows
completely
up in.
Agree with you.
I was actually bummed they underutilized him in Top Gun Maverick.
Is he in that?
Did you see it?
No.
He shows up. Sorry, this is a spoiler, but in case you're looking for more Ed Harris, he shows up like he's like in it immediately.
Oh, really?
And then he's kind of never in it again, I don't think. He's like the head of the organization. But I'm like, oh, he's going to be like the final boss of this movie. Nope. Terrorist.
What's he been in besides that lately?
Westworld.
Oh, yeah. And he was great in that.
He was so good. No one's ever going to watch the fourth season of Westworld. So I'll just say one of my favorite lines from that. I watched it till the end, to be fair.
You're the only one.
He walked through an abandoned city, and there's a sniper watching him. And then Ed Harris turns around before he can get sniped and pops him. And Ed Harris walks away and goes, "Fucking camper."
Oh,
gamer! That's a gamer term.
That's a gamer talk.
You didn't think Ed Harris was gonna?
I didn't think he had the game in him, but no, I was wrong.
Do you know? Just today, literally in the last 2 days, there was a news story. Jonathan Nolan talked about Westworld.
Uh huh.
Just in the last couple days.
Yeah.
And he said, "Hey, I have sat through been on projects where we have to get a different producer, different this, different that, different cast member, different this." Because I wanted to see through certain projects, like, I don't know, Inception or what. I don't know what the ones Jonathan Nolan worked on with Christopher Nolan.
Sure.
But he's like, I've gone through hell to see these projects through. I'm going to finish Westworld. I know it was canceled. We will find a way to wrap that. We will wrap that story up.
Oh.
Which I thought was interesting.
Because it wasn't wrapped up in the season 4?
No, there are all these people that are like, I think that was a perfectly good place to end it. And I kind of feel like, you kind of weren't really totally paying attention. Because it's like, I'm going to spoil Westworld.
That's fine.
Anybody at home, maybe skip ahead a little bit. But
you're a Westworld head.
All intelligent life got killed on the planet.
Oh, they did.
But the backup of old Westworld that they made, they were backing everyone up into I think it was like the Forge or something like that, backing up everyone's personality. Mm-hmm. That was a big problem. They were downloading people's personalities into the thing. And there was a copy that they preserved on old servers of the old Westworld.
Mm.
And the last scene of the show is Dolores or whatever. She's like, maybe humanity has one more chance. And it's her in the old, it is like back in the old West, back in that it's all existing in a computer somewhere, but she's there and it shows all that. And I guess you could say that's a good ending. You leave it on a cliffhanger, like maybe humanity tries again. But to me, it was like, no, they're setting up they said from the beginning, 5-season thing. They opened the door for that. Like, okay, what is intelligent life going to do to survive? Can it come back from just living in here? And then they didn't answer that. So I felt like that was not an ending, but
we'll see if they ever finish it.
Yeah. So anyway, they say they will. We'll see. And if we do see more, guaranteed Ed Harris will be in it. He was such an integral part of it.
What would be your favorite Ed Harris's roles or movies? Like, do you have one in particular you think of?
I always think of him as a NASA guy.
Apollo 13, me too.
I don't even think that's my favorite movie that he's in, but in my mind, that's who he is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yes.
He's that guy.
He's that guy. He's such a good... I mean, that role could be so easy and nothing, but he makes that whole movie.
He
really is so great in that movie.
I actually, though, think my favorite role of his, though, in terms of just I like to watch him, it's not even, not my favorite movie at all, but how you doing? Joey. My name's not Joey.
History of Violence?
Sure you are. Joey. Dang. Don't forget your shoes. He's, yeah, History of Violence. His character, he's a gangster guy or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he is so fun to watch.
Now, I will also say,
he's the best part of that movie.
I kind of felt like the Truman Show was the same character as Apollo 13. He's like in the headset talking to people.
Yeah,
the thing.
Sure.
But I like that too. It was like a little bit of Home. So I like
I need
Truman
to
Show.
Watch that. You know what? That we might need to do a movie club on that soon.
Okay.
That was one I saw at a young age, watched every trailer, and was like, oh my God, this is the greatest movie concept ever. Mm-hmm. That was the movie that as a kid was the first movie I saw where I was like, the trailers ruined that. I feel like I saw the whole movie.
Mm.
And it hurt that for me, but I never went back to it.
I
since
watched
it came
not
out.
Too long ago.
Yeah.
So I would be happy to
but
go
I'd
back
never,
to
that. You know what I mean? As a kid, I'd never had that happen to me where I was like, did I watch too many promos for this? And I did. I watched a behind the scenes thing on that was on like FX at the time.
Yeah.
I really was excited for it. And so when I saw it, I was like, huh, that's it? I knew all this was going to, you know what I mean? It was like, I didn't know to not do that.
It was darker than I thought it was going to be. I thought it'd be more of a comedy because it was Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
I thought it was like not Ace Ventura level of like slapstick, but I thought it'd be like funnier.
But I kind of liked that there was an interesting
concept. I liked it too. But as a kid, I was like, I don't know. So I would be happy to go back to that.
I think we need to. I think that would be good. I haven't seen it since that.
If you
want to
change course and have that be the next movie, that's fine. But think about it. Oh, fuck. Okay.
No. Hell no. I already picked mine.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Well, let's talk about The Abyss, the 1989 movie directed and written by James Cameron. James Cameron fucking loves water. This dude is all
about... He's all about water sports, dude.
He... Like, even, like, the fucking newest Avatar, all water. Like, this guy, doesn't he hold the record for the deepest dive ever? Like,
Yeah.
What is with that?
Sorry, this is just hitting me now, too. I keep forgetting, because I've only seen this, I never saw The Abyss until recently.
Yeah.
When they re-released it in theaters a few months ago, and I watched it again today. 4K Blu-ray just came out. It really just came out. In my mind, it's kind of a newer movie. They did such a good job cleaning it up and making it look good and all that. But I'm like, no, it just now hit me. No, it's pre-Terminator 2.
Yeah, 89.
Of course, the liquid metal and the liquid effects in this kind of went on to become that in T2. And it just occurred to me, I don't think Michael Biehn is in T2 at all. But I think he was in a deleted scene. I'm just thinking about in terms of cast members not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was in like a deleted scene or something. So maybe he did come back.
I don't know. He's in Tombstone and The Rock.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
I'm looking at a different
actors coming back.
I don't know if he's in another. Yeah. I don't think he is.
Yeah. I'm sure people will tell me. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyways. He was good in this movie too, by the way.
Yeah.
I've never seen this before. What is that with James Cameron in the water? So it just seems like that is the most foreboding, worst place to film. To even get an underwater camera sounds impossible. Like,
but I think that's what James Cameron loves having the gun to him like that, where it's like, oh, the hardest condition to film in, I'll film a movie there. I'll do that.
They filmed it in a nuclear silo or something that.
Okay.
It was some kind of weird like thing that wasn't being used, and they feel like they could fill up with water, and it would be not as dark as it would need sometimes, but they could help make it close. So it got super dark to film in that place. So I don't know. You want to go through the plot, or what do you think?
Sure.
Okay. So.
I'll just say first too. Yeah, he really fell in love with diving and stuff with this. I think it was with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
T2 was what it was, but then you have Titanic, and then Way of Water. There's shots in Way of Water, I swear, that are the same as ones in Abyss. But it's also funny seeing him as pre conservationist. Like now he's all about water, but also about animals, earth stuff, whatever. So it's funny seeing this movie, and it's like, yeah, we're gonna drown a rat,
dude. And, that was tough to watch.
Yeah,
they did that shot 5 times, so they used 5 rats.
Yeah,
but they're saying there was a vet on hand, and that liquid thing that you breathe in apparently
that
is real.
Fills your lungs. That's a real.
It's
thing.
A real thing. Yeah. They had to keep cutting though because all the rats thought they were dying, so they shit themselves. And so, like, it would be all like, contaminated with, like, rat shit. And, like, the rats really are panicked, and it's like, I don't need to see this. Like, I know that, okay, you tell me the rats survived. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, this is still a fucked up situation. And then they had to, like, hold it by the tail because they needed the liquid to drain out of the rat's lungs.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I guess James Cameron has talked about it, and he's just like, okay, first of all, would not do that again. But second, it was, all that science was real and that they were all okay. But still.
But you know what? The first time they did it, they weren't 100. Can you imagine them be like, it's probably going to be fine.
No, I saw that. I saw this in a packed theater when they re-released it because they only had one screening of it.
Yeah.
I guess two was out of the question. But so it was packed, and the whole theater was like, nah. I mean, everyone was going, ooh. You know, it's just like, you don't need that part.
I just can't, you know what? Yeah, I don't know.
The age of making any animal uncomfortable for entertainment is over.
So
it is
over.
Done.
And you know what? Thank God.
And like, we're in the transition period. Our kids are gonna go, "What? Why would an animal entertain you? What do you mean?" You know what I mean? Like, to us, that existed but should go away. To them, it'd be like, "Well, why would an animal do something to entertain you?" You know, it's like it'll be so foreign of a concept.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Getting off the path here.
Well, what's interesting to me in this movie is that it takes place in the future. By 5 years, like 1994.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is interesting, where it's like, what? Usually a movie is like, if it's the future, it's, you know, more than that.
Yeah.
More than just 5 years, but they just jumped up 5 years. I guess like they want to be like, yeah, this stuff maybe doesn't all exist, but it's close enough that maybe it could.
They kind of pull that with, it was a little further out, but I remember that was what was specifically haunting about Children of Men. That's in like a couple of years. That is when that movie takes place.
Oh.
Yeah. At the time it was 2006. But it was only 20 years in the future. And they were like, if we make it 100 years, it's not as threatening. But if it's like kind of close, you know.
Yeah.
And we're about to be there.
Really?
So guys, start checking to see if you're shooting blanks.
I am. I should watch
that.
Movie again. It's been a long time since
that's another movie. That needs to be another movie club for sure.
Yeah,
that movie I think might be better than you remember.
Really? Because I remember being really good.
And I think I saw it fairly recently, and it was like, huh, why isn't this always included in
I remember
classics
my like mouth hanging open that one shot where they weren't cutting. I was like, how?
Well, that was stupid though, because like, just
how?
Edit, just do cut. Like,
it's easy.
Adobe Premiere.
I'll show you how to do that.
I'll show you how to download it. 2 seconds. Cut,
so
cut,
easy.
Cut, cut, cut.
So easy.
Movie would have been shorter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. In January 1994, the U.S. Ohio-class submarine, the USS Montana, has an encounter with an unidentified submerged object and sinks near the Cayman Trough. Trough? Don't know how you
trough.
Call it. Trough.
Trough.
Trough. Maybe. Maybe. With Soviet ships moving in to try to salvage the sub, a hurricane moving in the area, the U.S. government sends SEAL team to Deep Core, a privately owned experimental underwater drilling platform near the Cayman Trough, to use it as a base as operations. The platform designer, Dr. Lindsay Brigman, that's right, insists on going along with the SEAL team, even though her estranged husband, Virgil Bud Brigman, is the current foreman. Okay, that we just set you up, give you a lot of information. You know what? Did you have any idea what the movie was about when you started watching it? Because I had...
I knew nothing going on.
I knew nothing.
Yeah.
I just knew this poster and that's it.
Yeah.
When it came to like, okay, we got like... I didn't know we would get the aliens or like anything like that.
I knew it was about some kind of alien being down in the water. That's the only thing I'd heard. Because I... Famously, the effects were really groundbreaking in this. There was a liquid thing.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it
was
horror thing. But I think I started thinking about Event Horizon. I get those two confused, even though I think one takes place in space.
Yeah, that's in space.
But, the helmets, I don't know. Okay. Now, during the initial investigation of the Montana, a power cut in the team's submersibles leads to Lindsay seeing a strange light circling the sub. What I was going to say is, it was interesting to me how everyone really hates Lindsay. Like, when they start this movie, it's all like, oh, hey, Lindsay. Like, it's just like,
yeah.
But why? Because, like, she's likable in this movie. I guess she always, like, speaks her mind, but, like, she was never as bad as they made her seem.
Yeah, it made it sound like she just made their jobs a lot harder. They were old. All these guys are, like, oil guys, you know, working at their rig in the water or whatever, and apparently she always made their job a lot harder. That's all the impression I get.
It also gave, this movie gave me Armageddon vibes. You ever see Armageddon?
I never did, no.
Really? Oh, wow. Well, the movie is the same kind of thing where it's like, we're just drillers, but we need you to save humanity.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that Armageddon ripped off parts of the Abyss, where it's like these guys who are like, well, I don't want to do it. We'll give you 3 times your pay. You know, stuff like that, where it's like trying to, I don't know.
Yeah, that's funny. It reminded me of Alien. Just really? Staying in the James Cameron verse.
Okay.
I mean, I know he didn't do the first one, but, you know, the same thing. Like, oh, you're the junk rig, but your contract says you're the closest thing to who's calling for help, so you have to do it, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah,
so.
That is, yeah, true.
Although they have a little less choice in Alien.
That's true. That's true. So she sees a strange light circling the sub, which she later calls a non-terrestrial intelligence, or NTI. Lieutenant Coffee, the SEAL team leader, is ordered to accelerate the mission and takes the mini subs without Deep Core's permission. This kind of just really blazing through this.
Yeah.
What I want to talk about really quick is a couple shots of them exploring and the sub when they go down and see the Montana and they're trying to see if there's any survivors or what. That was so harrowing. And like, I'm watching it just like, yeah. It's so tense.
When they're actually going through the
bodies. Yeah, or like when the guy opens up his mouth and the crab walks out.
Yeah.
Which was not faked. That was a real crab walking out of his mouth.
Well, how did you not get fucking pinched?
Well, they did it several times and a couple crabs didn't make it because it took too long to set up, whatever. And then the guy was holding his breath and then ended up like biting down on the crab and killing the crab.
Oh.
So they did kill a couple crabs. But he put an actual crab in his mouth.
Fuck no. You could. There's no dollar amount I would have done that.
Also, like, in my thought, you're down holding your breath is like, who's to say the crab's not going to go down my throat? Like, why would he not just go down that way?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not doing that. Like, fuck that. Oh.
No, there's no way in hell you would ever get me to
do that. I also think the guy doing that was James Cameron's brother. I think that was his brother.
Oh.
But, yeah, no thank you. But, yeah, that whole part was very tense for me. And then I kind of got this vibe of the whole movie. Like, oh, this is going to be, like, not a fun, like, it's not an easy watch. It's like, oh, God, like, you're stressed the whole time.
I think James Cameron should have done an intro for the movie. Ooh, not going to be a fun one, guys.
You're not going to like this. Okay, so while they're doing that. And
sorry, Siri on my phone just lit up. Not going to be a fun one, guys. And Siri goes, I'm sorry. I don't know why that turned on. Anyway.
So while they're looking at the crabs and the mouse, that's when Lindsay is seeing this like weird light thing and she can't really explain it. Another trope in movies that I do not like, and it happens all the time, is someone sees something and tries to get people to believe them, and they won't believe them.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole thing I had with Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
That's a thing where it's like, I get you have to, like, be like, I don't know, but, like, I just need someone.
That was all, I mean, you know, one of my favorite shows is Lost, obviously, but that was almost like a show ender for a lot of people. There is so much of Lost where it's, oh, really, this in the jungle? And it's like, they need to all fucking talk to each other.
They need to have a conversation.
Like, there's weird shit in there. Like, we're 3 seasons in. Oh, really? You found a bear?
We need to have an all-hands meeting and tell you everything that we've seen.
Yeah, like, we're all, like, fucking doubting this still? Anyway.
Yeah.
That does get annoying.
It does.
Yeah.
So Coffee is ordered to accelerate the mission and takes one of the mini subs without Deep Core's permission to recover the Trident missile warhead from the Montana just as the storm above hits and leaving the crew unable to disconnect from the surface support ship in time because of fucking Coffee. The cable crane is torn from the ship and falls into the trench, dragging the Deep Core to the edge before it stops. That part was also very stressful.
Yeah.
And it looked great. Like, a lot of this whole movie holds up. And it looks very well done. Like, yeah. The effects and the cinematography is great. Although, you know, as we said, people were, like, almost killed for the...
Yeah, this production sucked.
For the production. So, the rig is partially flooded, killing several crew members and damaging its power systems. And now, also that, like, they didn't use a lot of stunts, people.
Yeah.
So, they just, like, had the people in the set, and they just, like, flooded it with water. And it's like, hey, don't die. Here you go. Phil, go. It's like, this, I mean, looking at that, those shots, looks terrible.
Yeah.
To film. Like, I would not want to film this.
Hell
movie.
No.
It's not for me. Okay, so the crew... on the edge of this abyss, is waiting for the storm above to calm down so they can be rescued. As they struggle against the cold, they find the NTIs have formed an animated column of water to explore the rig, which they equate to an alien version of a remotely operated vehicle. That was, I mean, T-1000.
T-1000, yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah,
I didn't know what you're talking about originally, but yeah, that does it does. Look
this
like
was
that.
The first attempt at a liquid effect like that. This thing that's coming through the ship to look at them.
Yeah,
there was never anything like that before, and that's the only thing I knew about the movie is there was something weird down in the ocean and that imitated them like that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I lost my place. I'm sorry. Okay, though they treat it with curiosity, Coffee is agitated and cuts it in half by closing the pressure buckle down it, which, of course, this fucking guy, dude, this Coffee guy. But they do tell you in the beginning, like, oh, yeah, going down deep, like, you could, like, suffer some symptoms, like, going a little crazy. And, like, he has, like, all the symptoms they are listing. Like, his hand starts twitching and shaking, and he's, like, clearly losing it. And now he's cut off from his superior, so he's, like, in charge but, like, going rogue. So he's just doing what they think he should do. Because he set what's called high pressure nervous syndrome. The crew spies on him through the ROV, finding him and another SEAL arming the warhead to attack the NTIs. Trying to stop them, Bud fights Coffee, but Coffee escapes in a mini sub and a primed warhead. That fight scene I thought was pretty dope, actually, between Ed Harris and Coffee.
Again, I think there's a fight just like this in Way of Water when they were like knife fighting and the light is hanging in between them. I'm like, yeah, that's like General Quaritch and Jake Sully, like the end of that movie or like,
you're right.
Yeah.
You're totally right.
That you really see Way of Water is James Cameron's greatest hits playlist. It really is. There's stuff like there's Titanic scenes in there. There's that.
Aliens. Yeah.
All kinds of shit.
What's James Cameron's worst movie, do you think?
His worst movie, the first Avatar. Honestly, yeah, I think the first Avatar is really like, damn, I expected better.
Yeah,
did a great job. I mean, he developed again new technology. He's a you know, pioneer with that stuff. Just like George Lucas was kind of. I would mention him in the same breath. Built a world, created a world, a language, all that stuff. Bravo. The story was just too milquetoast to ever latch on to.
And it was so clearly, for me, Pocahontas. Where it's like, this isn't even close to anything else but that.
He talked about that he wrote it not long after this, about Abyss.
Really?
And again, picture that. If it had come out then, Derek says this all the time. If it had come out then, forget it.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. But, you know.
That's true.
It just didn't hold up to me all those years later. So I would say that's my least favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking like True Lies, great. Titanic, yeah. Terminator. Piranha 2, I haven't seen. Have you seen Piranha 2?
No, to think of it, no. True Lies, I do like True Lies. Do I like it more than Avatar? I mean, at least it's a fun adventure.
Yeah,
I love Arnold. I'd probably still.
Didn't realize you worked with Arnold three times, with Terminator 1 and 2 and True Lies.
Yeah.
Interesting. When is he going to show up in Avatar? He's got to show up eventually. You think?
Arnold should show up. Why not? Can you imagine Blue?
Arnold?
Avatar? Oh, yeah. It's a great. Oh, yeah, Pandora. Why would we go anywhere else? Yeah.
If all of a sudden.
It's a great planet.
Like, Jake Sully's doing some shit and the doors open and fucking Avatar Arnold shows up.
Oh my God. Movie of the year. That'd be sick. That'd be sick. Well, he says you're going to see the Fire Navi. Can you imagine if the head of the Fire Navi? Oh yeah, it's great. Yeah, we've got volcanoes. Yeah, yeah, we do. We do all kinds of things. Oh yeah. We're burning things. Yeah, we're red Navi. We don't need blue. Why so blue?
You think it's going to be red? Do you think?
Nah. I don't know. They adapt to their environment.
Now
but
the
water Navi were a little more blue. They were a little more greenish, kind of.
Yeah, they were. Had thicker arms. Turquoise.
They had thicker arms for paddling.
Yeah.
So what are Fire Navi gonna be? They're gonna have
super callous feet.
I think they're gonna be kind of more picture Goron's Zelda.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're gonna be like rocky. They're gonna have like hardened shit, callous feet, exactly,
yeah.
And like hardened stuff on them.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna be more like, yeah. And Arnold would be perfect. They should.
Okay. Well, I'll call James.
Oh, Jake Sully, I like what you do with your hair.
Okay, so they get in that fight, but then Coffee escapes in a mini sub with a primed warhead. He's going to blow up these nice looking aliens, and we don't know much about them, but they don't seem like they're a problem.
Did he have underwater sickness?
Yeah,
basically?
It was high pressure nervous syndrome.
That's what they call it, with him hurting himself and stuff like that. Okay. That was a note. I kind of feel like I was like, did I miss something there? But I think that's what's going on.
But you know, this is what I'm saying is this happens a lot, and maybe it's just a statement on people and themselves, but like, this guy is clearly losing it, and he still has people like following his orders. Like his, it's like, you gotta, hey man, I know you're in the military, and
that's what I was gonna say. Is it's a military thing, like order?
But like he's cutting himself with a knife.
Yeah,
like maybe he's not doing all right.
Yeah, if I was that far down below, I'd be like, all right.
And you talk about, and not just that, but like, okay, you want to follow his orders to some things, okay, but like.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about arming a nuke and we're going to take that, give him the nuke. Yeah, I don't think so. I know you outrank me, but this seems like a bad fucking idea. You know?
Yeah.
I'm tired of, you know what? Don't always follow the orders.
Yeah.
Okay. Coffee escapes to the mini warhead prime with the sub. Bud and Lindsay give a chase and another sub, damaging both. Coffee is unable to launch the warhead into the trench like he wanted. But his sub drifts over to the edge and implodes from the pressure. Now, he kills him. Now, in my mind, I'm ready for James Cameron to bring Coffee back for some reason. Like, James Cameron always does this thing where he kills a bad guy that you hate, and then they bring him back for one more thing.
Yeah, they do that,
but he did not do that here. Thank God, because it made no sense. But I was like, he better not bring this fucking guy back.
No, Coffee's death in this, actually, is crazy now in the retrospect since the Titanic sub. It's like, implodes. Oh, that's probably what happened to those guys.
Yeah.
I actually thought that was executed really well in this.
And ironically, Titanic sub, and he did Titanic later.
Yeah.
How about that? The story wrote itself.
Well, it's ironic that two ships went down in the same spot in the ocean.
That is.
Full of rich people.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No shit. The rich people got off the boat. What are you talking about? There's the poor people who died. I thought that whole fight scene of like, again, we're talking about filming this underwater and these machines that don't really exist when they're fighting each other. And it's like, it was impressive the whole way through. I thought like that, like this looks good. It didn't look like 80s cheesy to me.
I really think the only effect in the whole movie, again, I've seen, this is the newly restored, remastered version. By the way, we haven't had this conversation yet. We should at some point.
Okay.
There are two versions of the movie.
Oh, fuck. There are?
Which version did you see?
Makes
a big difference.
I don't know.
Okay, well, we'll find out in a second. But all I want to say is the only effect I think in this entire movie that actually is like, ooh, that didn't age good. It's brief. There are shots at the end of the movie that when the big alien ship like emerges are very blurry. But I actually think that kind of conceals, like, is it a good effect or a bad effect? Yeah. It's just blurry. Yeah. So I don't consider that. I thought it is what it is. It's fine. Though there's one part where they are fighting Michael Biehn's Coffee or whatever. And he extends his arm from the vehicle that it is a stop motion animation.
Like, oh yeah, out. It is. It
that's
is.
The only part it where is. I'm like, oh, that's the one effect that did that is yeah. an 80s effect.
Yeah.
Everything sure. else actually, I think, held up to be like a modern movie, mm-hmm. I thought.
Yeah.
No. Now, which version of the movie did you watch? The only one that's been available for a long time is the special edition.
Okay.
Which is the extended version. James Cameron has a couple of these from earlier in his career.
Yeah.
In the 80s, he had a couple movies cut down more than he wanted. Now that wouldn't happen. Now it's like, no, I released the version I want. Get the fuck out of here. But Aliens and this, he both had like, okay, now later, only now can I release the version you were meant to see.
Yeah.
Here it is. The extended Aliens is the only one I've ever seen. And so, you know, sometimes people tell me like, oh, I'm whatever on Aliens is this or that, whatever. But there's all this wonderful stuff about like Ripley kind of like taking Newt into her own as her own child because she lost her own daughter. Mm. And there's a scene in the extended Aliens where Ripley sees the last images of her daughter. Because remember, Ripley was out in space for
right. Right.
It's like, how long were you floating out there? Oh, 56 years. Wait, what?
Yeah.
And they show, it's like, your daughter passed. It's like, well, can I see pictures of her? And it's like old 80-year-old woman sitting in a garden. It's like, oh my God, that's my fucking daughter. Yeah. Like, there is so much more of that in the extended one that I think is really important to the heart of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
This film, kind of similar thing, where the theatrical cut cuts out so much of the husband and wife of them being a thing, and cuts out a lot of his communique with the aliens at the end, showing them the footage and stuff, you know, whatever. But I don't know. Have you seen that?
Showing the aliens.
So where did you watch the movie? Let's find out.
Where did I watch it?
Where did you see it?
I watched it on here. I don't remember if I rented it or if I watched. Is it streaming anywhere? I have no idea.
It was on Max.
Oh, let me see. I'll go to Max right now. Actually, I'll go to my. I don't know.
So did you just look it up through Apple and it told you could play it?
Yeah.
I have a feeling it's through Max, and if that's the case, that's probably the most versions of it available anywhere are the longer one. Like they it's almost hard to get the original one.
Okay, streaming. Let's see what I did. I think I did it on Hulu or Paramount Plus. I think it's Paramount Plus.
Okay, it was on Paramount Plus.
Let's click that and let's see. Yeah, resume. So it's 2 hours and 20 minutes when I saw.
You saw the shorter one.
Did I really?
You saw the shorter one.
Why would it? What?
The special edition is 250.
Oh, it's a half hour of shit that I missed.
And I'll tell you, you know, but there's arguments there. I will say with The Abyss.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to just soften the blow here. Yeah. There are arguments on both sides of it. Some people are like, yo, you got the picture. But there's one thing, though, that I might have an argument with, and we'll get to it at the very end, and okay. I'll tell you what that is when we get there.
Dang, that sucks.
Yeah.
I can't believe that I watched a shorter one. Yeah, I didn't even know there was two.
No, they were supposed to really only most places it's hard to find the theatrical one.
Well, not on Paramount Plus. That was the one that was given to me. Okay, well, that's crazy. The both of the things were damaged. Coffee is dead, but now Bud and Lindsay, are stuck. There's only one functional diving suit. Lindsay opts to enter into deep hypothermia and trigger, I don't know what that word is called, mammalian diving reflex. When the ocean's cold water engulfs her, and then she will die, and then they have to bring her back. Crazy thought. Also, it was like her idea, but then a very natural reaction was never mind when she was like actually gonna die. It was like her like taking like I don't want to do this.
Yeah,
very scary. And then I'm just thinking of the poor actress having to film this like and it's like actually
oh my
filling
God,
up.
Yeah.
Whenever they have that shot of like
yeah
people floating and trying
and
to like breathe still
just a little bit of water
and that's
left.
In like a lot of movies
that's also
like,
in Avatar Way of Water.
I hate that. That gets me so like oh. Oh,
yeah.
Fucking uncomfortable.
Also, too, from what I understand from people who actually do diving a lot and are experts and whatever in that field, you learn a lot about holding your breath. I remember, of all people, Margot Robbie talked about this. Mm. She's like, I can hold my breath now for like 10 minutes or something. What something crazy fuck? Like that. And she's like, because you learn, when you have diving experts, they teach you, it kind of takes the fear out of it because it's like, you know, oh, I don't want to hold my breath. Oh, 2 minutes. Oh, my God, it's scary. She's like, but then they tell you what's going to happen. Okay, you're gonna hit a wall at about a minute and a half, 2 minutes, but then just push back that. You're going to feel a little lightheaded, but it doesn't affect you. It's just your body going like, yo. But like, it's just a warning. You're fine. And then this happens. You'll start to like twitch, but that's also just a warning. You're not getting any damage. She's like, they'll explain it so much that these worries start to go away where it's like, oh, okay, well, this is happening. Oh, it's fine. You know? She's like, you can be talked out of being so afraid of it.
Mm.
You know, I'm hearing that and I'm like, can you?
I don't think I can.
But anyway, but I feel like that was kind of what was going on in this scene is this is like, look, I'm going to go into the shock, but the odds are I will probably survive. You know,
but I mean, honestly,
to go into that.
Barely. Like he brings her back.
Yeah.
And I guess she actually had to hold her breath for that part of her, them like swimming back with her. Like she really was just holding her breath. Like, and she was like, had to be actually, she was dead, holding her breath, and Ed Harris actually had to swim back. Like that, this whole thing seems terrible to film.
But he brings her back in, and then, now again, I am assuming this is the same in both versions, but the CPR scene happens.
Yeah.
And he will not give up
on
her.
Yes.
And what was cracking me up is, again, watching. I always like seeing older movies where then you realize what the things you love ripped off.
Mm-hmm. And this is Lost.
Oh, my God. There's a scene in Lost that is one of the most compelling scenes in it where they find, it's early Lost, so I'm not spoiling the end of the show or anything, but where they find Charlie hanging from a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, what happened to him? And Jack won't stop doing CPR. And it's like, Jack, he's gone. And then they get up, walk away, and then he goes, no, 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 and he goes back and keeps hitting him in the chest. And it's almost like gross, like stop.
Yeah.
That wholesale ripped off.
And then when remember in that shot of Lost, when they pan up and it's a wide shot and it's like from above, and it's like, oh, they're just going to cut away now. This is, he's dead.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when it went back, I'm like, wait, is he? That show's so good.
Yeah. But anyway, that was definitely they watched this for sure.
Definitely The Abyss. Yes, because they bring her back. He was at the very last second able to revive her.
Yeah.
It is decided later that they needed to disarm the warhead, which is more than 2 miles below them. Now, that is what I don't understand. Why do they need to disarm this warhead?
I mean,
that's the whole plot. I mean, that's like the whole last act of the movie.
Yes.
It's like, we have to disarm this thing. But who's going to activate the warhead? Like, what's the...
It could go off. There's... When you're dealing with nuclear warheads, they can't go unaccounted for. It's,
I guess.
You know, and
but it's so far down that abyss in the hole, like no one's ever going down.
But
there.
I also think they know, like they've seen that there's someone down there, there's something down there, and I think they just, you know,
they don't want
to. They have it in them to go like, well, we have to do the right thing and get that.
But the way they have to do it is crazy.
Yeah.
So Bud is using an experimental diving suit equipped with liquid breathing apparatus to survive that depth. So he never used that actual thing the rats did. He was just had his head, he had to hold his breath while his was in the helmet.
Yeah, yeah.
And there is a shot that you see of him panicking, and that wasn't acting. Yeah. He really was panicked and trying to get out of that thing, and they wouldn't let him out.
Apparently, during that when they're filling him up with that liquid that you're talking about, there were multiple times during the filming that he almost drowned.
Right.
And then this was apparently the worst one where they filled it with liquid. He's freaking out. He's giving the signal for oxygen, but the safety diver guy got hung up on a cable and couldn't get to him. So it was like, hey, he's there. Hello. Hey, he's there. He's there. He's there. He's there. It's like no one could get to him. So another crew member gave him the regulator, but then it was upside down.
Oh, no.
Full of water. So the underwater cinematographer, Al Giddings, saw what happened, ripped the upside down regulator and gave him his own in the correct orientation, and they said Ed Harris broke that night.
That's when he was crying.
He was crying. Yeah. Like, and it was just like, so they said, yeah, this is probably why he doesn't want to talk about this.
Also, it's like, yeah, that was that night. Okay, film in the next day. Go ahead. Get back in the water. Yeah. Like, fuck.
Got to keep schedule. Oh.
Yo. Okay. So, since he's liquid breathing, he can't communicate. So he has a little wrist thing that he can type on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So Bud begins his dive, assisted by Lindsay's voice to keep him coherent against the effects of the mounting pressure. He reaches the warhead. Monk guides him to disarm it, which I thought was a great scene where it was like the light went out and all he had was his like glow stick.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, cut the yellow one, but not the green one or whatever.
Well, it was cut the green one, but not the one with yellow and black stripes. Like, yeah. Don't do that. And yeah, it's all bathed in green light. Like, okay.
I guess in the making
that
of
was
it,
brilliant.
The wires were the same color.
Oh, okay.
In real life, okay. IRL.
That was one that seeing with a packed theater was great. The audience was, I think it, after so long, after so much tension, you know, you'll laugh at the first thing, you know, that happens. The audience died during that part. Like, cut the right thing. It's cutting to him. Like, what? Yeah, everyone was laughing.
And then, like, you know, like he has it and he's like clippers on the wire pushing down and then stops. And then goes the other one and cuts that one. It's fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
That was great.
That was great. Okay, so then he disarms it, but he has very little oxygen left in the system. And Bud explains he knew it was a one-way trip. He tells Lindsay that he loves her as he waits for death. But that alien thing approaches Bud, takes his hand, and guides him into a massive alien city deep in the trench. That part, it reminded me of Rez a little bit. I know that's a little crazy, that game.
The travel of it a little bit. Yeah, when he gets guided down. I was waiting for long ago. Creatures came from the ocean. By the way, I closed this just because I'm personally done with this episode. Okay. No, my MacBook's dying.
Oh, geez.
Didn't charge it. Sorry.
Fuck you. then... guides him to the alien city. NTIs create an atmospheric pocket for Bud, allowing him to breathe normally. The NTIs play back Bud's message to his wife and look at each other with understanding.
Yeah, he goes through this force field thing. Now, I'm going to stop right here.
Stop me right here.
This is the biggest difference with the special edition. I don't know what's in the regular one versus this, but so this movie came on... Easter was recently, and at our house, I went to a family, we had a big family thing. I always love to put on, it's really only Turner Classic Movies that plays like all the Easter movies, you know, which are all biblical epics, which by the way, I tried to pick for this week. Sean, when I said biblical epic, let out a groan unlike any other. Yeah, I'm thinking, biblical epic, like The Robe, or maybe The Greatest Story Ever Told. What about King of Kings?
That sounds exactly like. So we legitimately though he's not. Yeah, that's what I sound.
We
like.
Landed on the abyss because all those movies kept playing. Someone hit the button at one point. Wait, the abyss is on, and our family finished the abyss.
Oh wow!
But it was the theatrical one. Okay. It ended, and my cousin, who is a huge Abyss fan, went, "Wait, none of that is in this version?" And it was this scene. In the extended one, you tell me if any of this sounds foreign, but he's in there and he's like, "What, you guys have been down here like this whole time? Like, what's going on?" And they're just they can't talk to him. They're showing him stuff.
Okay.
And he sees, he sees a vision, and it's, they are like the tides are rising.
None of this.
None of this is in it? Where the cities are under attack?
Let me tell you what I saw. He's in the pocket. He sees the message.
Yeah.
And he's like, huh. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
This was the biggest cut. And I think you should watch just this part,
yeah,
if nothing
definitely,
else.
Definitely.
He goes down there and he looks and he sees the above water. They're showing him like the fucking viewing globe in Power Rangers.
Okay.
Like showing him. And there is a tsunami up above. heading towards the city. Like, oh my God. Like, everyone in fucking New York is going, wait, what is that?
Oh,
and
shit.
Then it's California, the beach. Whoa, what is that? The oceans are rising. A tsunami is coming. And he looks at them like, you're doing that? Why would you do that? And they're all looking at him. He's like, why would you do that? And all of a sudden, on another screen, they show him footage of, like, nuclear bomb footage and stuff like that. And he's like, well, yeah, we have nukes, but, like, we weren't going to use it. We don't want to use them. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing. Like, why you think we're going to, you know, like, why would you think that we were going to hurt you like that? Right. Like, that's what I came down here to do. I'm defusing the nuke. Right? Don't you believe us? Then they show another screen, and it's all, like, World War II footage, Nazis marching. It's all the history of war on the planet. And he's like, and he's just like, yeah, like, got me. You know, it's like, humanity really hasn't done a good job, I guess. You know, he's right. Just like, damn, like, they're showing the threat that humanity is.
Mm.
And then he looks back at the, you know, at the tides rising and all that, and there's people, oh my God, oh my God, wait, look. And the waves are all, like, suspended. They're stopped, like, right there. And then they go back in the ocean. And he's like, what? You didn't do it. Why? You stopped it? Why would you do that? And he looks, and they show him the message that he said. They intercepted his message to his wife. I love you. I'm doing this for you. I love you. Or like, all of his positive messages that he sent. And he's like, oh, you read my messages. And they all kind of look at him like, you know, okay. All right. And then they go away. And then when they're bringing him back up, they're getting messages, typed messages from him. Uh-huh. Remember? And she's reading them to the army. And they said to him, like, we send a message today. Like, it's time for humanity to, like, grow up a little. Put away these childish things.
Okay.
And he's translating this. He's the one saying this. He's like, it's time for us to man up a little bit and stop acting like this. So they sent us all a message. So it's like, and then the military is all looking at each other like, what? And then a guy looks at the general and he's like, I guess you guys might be out of a job soon. But like, they all got this message that's like, the sea could have claimed us all today, but we're going to let it go in the hopes that you'll all stop the fucking nuclear bombs, the violence,
and we'll pump
the
up the
Cold
peace.
War shit, and like, respect one another, because this guy could do it. This guy was fighting with his wife and then sent a message of love, even though they were, you know, you could do it too, kind of thing. You know, they sent a message. Okay. And then it goes into the ship comes up from the water.
Oh, wow.
Like the world got a message that day. That's all removed.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Wow. Because I didn't see any of that shit.
I've heard that there's a lot of argument back and forth on each cut. Like I said, like, some people saying, yeah, it's cool you got more of them, but the special edition's too long. I've heard that.
Mm.
But the one place where the most argument is this scene where it's like, ah, they shouldn't have cut. This is kind of the point. He meets the aliens, and this is what they want to, this is what they're trying to tell them.
Yeah, because there was no point.
Yeah.
But I didn't hate that either.
Yeah. It can be just that.
Like, I didn't need some ham-fisted or, like, you know,
yeah,
stop war message.
Yeah.
I didn't need that.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a little corny for sure.
It sounds a little corny.
But it does give the whole thing, it does kind of put a bow on the whole message.
Which I could appreciate.
So again, the argument continues. What version is better, you know?
Well,
this movie, it's not so clear cut, I guess.
Well, I'll watch the other one. At least that
I
part.
Would at least see the end of it, see what you think.
Yeah.
Also, because there's a great reason, I'll show this to you later. We'll watch the scene, but when those tides are rising, there's people on beaches, like, running, like, oh my God, you know, whatever, from it. And if you look in the corner, extras are running. One of the extras is standing there, and another extra comes up and pantses him and runs off. The guy's like, what the fuck? And pulls it back up. His bare ass is on the screen.
What?
And that is that's always been in, like, movie mistakes, and, like, whenever you look things up online, that's a famous movie mistake. And every time they re-release the movie, they're like, they're gonna remove that. They're gonna, and they still have it. It was in, saw it, that bare ass in a glorious theater.
What?
It played on the big screen, so that's still in there. Anyway.
Wow.
So
that's weird.
At least watch it for the pantsing.
I'll watch it for the pantsing. Well, then the aliens show up, and I mean, that effect was impressive, I thought. We're like, the huge ship arising, and then, like, the boats are kind of, like, teetering, like, the battleships. They're, like, little, like, toys on top of this gigantic alien ship.
When you see the wide shot, again, it's kind of blurry. And it was blurry in the original, and it's blurry. Like, they did this brand new 4K remaster of the movie, and that shot is still blurry. And they're just like, how we did the effect, we just kind of like hid things by, you know, analog kind of like, you know, what. However they did it, he's like, that shot's always going to be blurry, sorry. Mm-hmm. But it's not a bad effect. It still just looks like, you know, you're getting a murky view of it.
Then they see Bud walking out of the alien ship, and Lindsay races to hug him, and that's the end, according to what I know. Is there more to the end?
That's where it ends here. I think they might have added one more line, because from what I understand, I think in the special edition, when they all come out of the ship, all of them out of their you know, their sub gets lifted, they all come out, and then one of them says, "Wait, what happened? We didn't depressurize." Like, they should normally have to depressurize the ship. Like,
that's right. Yeah. They have that too, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, that was in the final thing? Like, we didn't depressurize. Yeah, and then the guy goes, they must have done something to us.
Yeah.
That's in there?
Yeah.
Okay, I think that was thrown in. I think, I could be wrong, I think that was a reshoot. Like, yeah, we finished filming the movie. Well, they didn't depressurize the ship or anything like that?
Oh. They said it takes, like, a long time to do that.
Yeah. Okay, well, just get a line where the he goes, oh, those aliens must have done something to us.
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay, done.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I'm surprised to hear about the alien mega tsunami situation.
Yeah.
That was, I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know.
I did not know that whole thing was not in the.
That's so funny.
That's crazy.
Well, that's The Abyss. Did I pick this movie?
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't know. The Shakers is tough because I feel like it's a very well-made movie.
Yeah.
But, like, was it the best? I don't know.
I had, having seen this the first time in that theater showing, I had a great time at the movie theater.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Got popcorn, and my palms were sweating during certain parts.
Yeah.
James Cameron made a great movie. This is, like, to me, like a good summer movie.
Sure.
Do I think of it more than that? No, not really.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't. Okay.
I would say, like, for me, it's like a 3, 3.5. But I enjoyed it. Like, it was it was good.
Strong 3 for me.
Yeah.
I'll just dovetail on that.
Yeah.
Strong 3. If people are like, should I watch this? I'm going to say yeah.
I think so.
I think it's better making a night of it, though. Like, turn off all the lights, watch it, get some popcorn. That's this kind of movie to me.
Yeah.
Not really any deeper than that, but the production was very well done.
Oh, that's wild.
I mean, sorry to the actors, maybe a little too well done, but you know. To me, this holds up as a modern movie, I think, in terms of
the
production of it.
And the even the shots, it looks, I mean, I can't
still
believe it.
Still looks great.
In the 80s, that's
holds
crazy.
Up completely.
Yeah. They did not want Ed Harris for the role, too, because the movie studio didn't like his receding hairline. And they said, and then James Cameron's like, this makes it, he's like working. He's like a real guy.
Yeah.
This is real. So they ended up relenting. They wanted Harrison Ford or fucking who else was it? Not Harrison Ford. Who's the computer or tennis shoes? Who is that?
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. They want Kurt
Russell. He probably would have been good.
Oh yeah, for sure.
He could have done it.
But I'm glad they got Ed Harris.
Yeah, Ed Harris, classic.
Although he's not glad they got Ed Harris.
Yeah.
I'm sure Ed Harris could maybe do things a little differently. Maybe he wouldn't be in this one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's this movie. Rocco, what's the next movie we're gonna watch?
Okay, so this next episode, I'm gonna hate to divide our Patreon. The country's divided enough.
Oh,
but
no.
This one, it's for the guys. Sorry, sweetie. What's the episode for girls?
I don't
know. Barbie? We didn't do that.
We didn't do Barbie.
I'm just kidding. The next episode, every film bro I knew in high school going into college wanted to write a script like Reservoir Dogs that I always equated it to the annoying film bro guy that I didn't want to talk to. But I finally saw it for the first time. Saw it in a theater recently and thought, you know what? This would be interesting. My first viewing of it.
I've seen it since high school.
You okay? Wait, you haven't seen it since high school, or you?
No. I saw it in high school. I think I watched it again like maybe 10 years ago.
Okay,
so it's been a long
time.
Okay.
But yeah, like I said, every film bro I knew was like, I'm gonna write a script like Reservoir Dogs. So that kept me. I was always kind of like, what is this? What the hell is this?
Yeah.
But I finally ponied up. I saw it.
Okay.
So let's dive into Reservoir Dogs. Quentin Tarantino, is that his directorial debut, I believe?
I think so.
He wrote other stuff.
He wrote Dusk Till Dawn, but I think Reservoir Dogs is his first movie.
Yeah. So we're going to check that out.
I think he took the money from writing Dusk Till Dawn to make Reservoir Dogs.
I thought it was.
Oh, really? Maybe he wrote something else and took that money.
He wrote True Romance.
That's what it is.
But I don't know. Yeah, maybe that's what
I think he wrote that and then made Reservoir Dogs. Anyways, we'll find out. You know what?
Sure.
We're just guessing now, but we're going to find out the answers next week. Thanks for subbing to Patreon, as always. And we'll see you at the movies.